We talked earlier this morning on Malachi. We talked about how the priests had gotten a little bit complacent with the work of God. Reading in particular from verses 6 and following, it says in Malachi, or God's messenger, as it were, shared with us how God felt about that. And we wanted to certainly make some practical applications in our subject of giving our best to the Master and what that would mean for us as Christians today. So we left off talking about, let me give you a quick little overview. Looking at verse 6, it says, "A son honors his father and the servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests, who despise my name? But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Saith the Lord of hosts. And now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to you, gracious to us, rather, with such a gift from your hand. Will he show you favor? Rather, will he show favor to any of you, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts." See a common theme there where the Lord of hosts is mentioned quite a few times in this scripture. And that's not by accident. We talked a little bit making the comparison to having a dignitary come to your home and what that would call for in your everyday would change. It would be something special. You'd get out the fine china. You'd make sure that they were comfortable and had the best meal. We have to think about that when we present our service to God. The priests in Malachi's day were giving God the leftovers. They had no use for blind, lame, or sick animals, so they gave it to God on the altar in verses 1-8. And God tells them that he would rather that they close the doors of the temple than to have them offer these cheap sacrifices to him. Giving God what you really don't need anyway isn't giving to him at all. We should give God the best that we have and know that it's the best that we have to give. The religious leaders of God of Jesus' day did the same thing. Let's look at Luke chapter 21, verses 3 through 4. I haven't figured out how I could just look here and know what's there, but so bear with me. Slide presentation guy. Luke chapter 21. Should get the right one there. 3-4. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two smaller copper coins, and said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on." Jesus said that she put in more than all the rest combined. because she gave of, because they gave rather of their surplus, but she gave of all that she had to live on. When we think of a sacrifice like that, we think that sacrifices, they aren't always convenient. They hurt a little bit. You start thinking and weighing factors. It says, okay, well, maybe instead of a turkey and a ham for Christmas, we got to make sure and put God first, so maybe all we can do is a turkey this year. Because we're getting into God's money now. So, for example, or maybe we don't have any turkey or ham, just because if we did that, we have to take it from the offering. So, some people already getting, I can see the faces out there. It's not that many out there, but they're thinking, I'm not giving up my turkey or my ham. He must be out of his mind. Come on now. Work with me, church. I'm just giving you an example. I don't want nobody flipping tables over here on me now. I don't want to lose you just this yet. I just started. The idea is that the poor widow gave all that she had to live on. As living sacrifice, we should give God all that we have. And know that that's happening. Know that we are humbling ourselves and saying, you know, God deserves my entire service. That would be a reasonable service to God. Mary anoints Jesus at Bethany. Let's look at John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I like these scriptures because it helps to show us the very real human condition behind this. I like these interactions that God has with man. John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I think that's right. Six days before the Passover, Jesus, before he came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead, so they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. This had to be a joyous time. Imagine that situation. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointment. Now, it's excessive in that it was a pound, number one. It's expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. House was filled with the fragrance and the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples who was about to betray him, that's telling, says, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Judas already kind of tapped out, didn't he? Meaning he had already decided, this putting God first is not necessary. It's overkill. We could have taken this. This is some expensive ointment here. We could have made a few bucks off of this. It's important to note, though, that he's also a human being and can get caught up into human values. He didn't see the reason to put God first in this situation. And he said this because he cared about the poor. He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Jesus said, leave her alone so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you have always had with you, but you do not always have me. Again, a stellar example of the importance of putting God first, and she knew it. Second Samuel chapter 24, verse 24, let's look at that. Giving God the best in terms of costs. As I mentioned, when we start to think about our offering to God, I mentioned that it should hurt a little bit. In other words, it shouldn't just be out of our abundance that we give to God. I mentioned earlier about how sometimes the weather can make it inconvenient to get out here and worship God. Sometimes that weather can really be inconvenient. It can hurt a little bit. But you and I both know there are those that will weather the weather and get out here and praise God. And it's not to judge those that don't. But we do have some fair weather Christians. We have to be honest. If the weather ain't fair, they ain't Christians that day. Not going to do it. Don't want to suffer. Don't want to sacrifice to put God first. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24. Give you a perspective. So let's read verse 20. Let's look at verse 22 and come down. Then, I hope I say these names good enough here for you. Arunah said to David, "Let my lord, the king, take and offer up what seems good to him. Here are the oxen for the burnt offerings and the threshing sledges and the yokes of oxen for the wood. All this, O king," Arunah gives to the king. And Arunah said to the king, "May the Lord your God accept you." But the king said to Arunah, "No, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing." King David knew the value of making a sacrifice to God, knew the value of giving him the best, knew the value of the necessity of cost when he was deciding to give his best to the master. He says, I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor, the oxen, and 50 shekels of silver, and David built the altar there, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord responded to the plea for the land, and the plague was averted from Israel. We honor God when we give him our best in terms of cost. When we look at it and we realize, that's not convenient to me, but it's worth everything for me to put God first, whatever that situation might be. We should give God the best in terms of quality. You know, Christians ought to be the best workers on the planet. I talked this morning about how important it is for us to strive for excellence as Christians. We get that when we come through this door, we hear the word of God, we get the truth. Some people go their whole lives, or at least their whole week, not knocking down a door of religion at all. Don't get to hear the truth. The truth as they can get it is going to be when the news is on the television. That's their truth. No wonder the world's crazy. They're believing whatever comes through the media or the television as truth. But this is truth. This is what's right. This defines what's wrong. And it's a foundation we can stand on to improve ourselves, to make ourselves excellent in the sight of God. By his standards, we can do that. We can understand what it means to have quality in humanity. When we read this book, Malachi chapter 1, 8 and 9, and let's go back to our text. Let's take a look at that. When you offer blind animals in sacrifices, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor, will he accept you? Or show you favor, saith the Lord of hosts? And now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us with such a gift from your hand. Will he show favor to any of you, saith the Lord of hosts? You know, we give God what we want, but then we ask him for the most, don't we? We give him what's left over, but we ask him for the first set at the table. And that's the perspective we're getting right here. It's important for us to know that God is not satisfied with less than quality. When he made you, he knows what kind of quality you can put out. Every bone in your body, everything that gives you life, he gave it to you. Every strand of hair on your head, every bit of vision, every right-minded thinking, every logic you have, all that you use in your faculties to give excellence in your workplace. God gave that to you. You think about how you make decisions, how you perfect the thing, whatever that is, how you strive for excellence in just the way that you do things. Be reminded that God gave that to you. Your smarts, God gave to you. Your reputation, if it's good, God gave that to you. So give back to him that which is of quality in your living sacrifice. We should give God the best in terms of priorities. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Most of you know this too, also by heart. Pretty straightforward. It's one of those scriptures I imagine you've probably even memorized in your time. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. My mom used to say all the time, you need to put God first. That's what this means. Everything else will follow. I'm having a little bit of trouble. I go to her and I say, Mom, I don't know about this, that, and the other. You know what? You wouldn't have that kind of trouble if you would put God first. I'm trying to talk to you. I need a moment here. You know, give me a hug. No. You need to put God first. My hug ain't going to help you. But if you understand what I'm trying to tell you, to put God first and everything else will follow, that'll be a hug that'll sustain you beyond me and beyond my going. And it does. That's what the scripture is talking about. And there are so many, and were so many opportunities, and will be other opportunities. You'll see them come up because the devil is crafty. Oh, he's clever. All day he's trying to get some followers, you know. And he'll give you a little something that just really speaks to you. And it just, you know, you see that image of the angel on the right side and the devil on the left. You can do this. Oh, get away from me. God. You can do it all day. He just comes back, sits like a fly. You just be like, I'm trying to put God first. The devil don't go away. Comes by way of your so-called friends. Comes through the radio and music. Comes through the television on a program. Comes through a movie you thought was okay. It said rated G. But then there comes the devil. He's always around. You will always have an opportunity to put God first. And when we put God, when we are giving God our best in terms of priorities, when we put Him first in everything, you can put those, everything I just mentioned, put it through a filter of, does this please God? God's word has got to be top priority in our lives. God's word was not top priority in these priests for the people. They had better ways to use the unblemished lambs than to put them on God's altar. Our Lord commands to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Ask yourself, am I valuing with my life what God values? Do my priorities, the ways I spend my time, my money, and my efforts, reflect the things that matter most to God? Am I seeking first God's kingdom and righteousness in my personal life, my business life, my family, and my spare time activities? Am I seeking to honor God above all else that crowds me for attention? Because all of those things will do it. That is what the scripture is talking about. We should give God the best in terms of personal integrity. And this is a kind of a tough one. Because this is what you do when nobody else is watching. This is what you do beyond these four walls, right? You come here. Your personal integrity isn't challenged. But when you're not amongst your brothers and sisters in Christ and you are alone in your world, in your space, how do you navigate yourself? How do you interact with other people? How do you think? What do you say? And we've got some really good human examples here. Let's turn over to Malachi in our text, chapter 1, verse 14. Swing back there. Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. Now, give you a perspective on this. The idea was that he vows a male. This is the best you can give of the flock. And to make this vow, he's proclaiming, I'm going to give this, making it known to everyone. I promise, this is what I'm going to give you. Instead, comes around and gives what it says here, it says, yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. In other words, just so that I could look good to you, I'm going to tell you I'm going to give God the best. But that's not what happened here. It's a problem with integrity. Talking the talk, but not walking the walk. Here we're talking about motive. Why do you do what you do? Do you do it to be seen of men? Think about how you achieve excellence, how you achieve quality, how you put your best foot forward. Are you just doing that so that your boss can be proud of you? Give you a raise, maybe? Pat on the back? Or are you working for God? As a Christian, you ought to be working for God. You're doing your best in spite of whether you'll ever get that raise. Because it's the right thing to do. All I strive for is excellence. It's in my DNA. I'm a Christian. That's what I do. If I should get a raise out of it, if you should acknowledge me, that's a byproduct. See, because I work, and everything I put my hand to do is for the Lord. Because he gave me these hands. He gave me my mind. He gave me this body. He gave me my thinking, my processing. He is how I preserve my integrity for why I do what I do. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. Familiar with the story? Probably in the interest of time, we won't even read it. Everyone knows the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Sacrifice they made? No? You know this story, don't you? You don't know this story? Yeah, she knows this story. Okay. Let's look at it real briefly. Acts chapter, well, you gotta get there though. Acts chapter 5, verse 111, Gary. But a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You see that's that little devil on the side of Ananias' shoulder? Instead of Ananias saying, get out of here. He's like, what was that? Huh? Speak up, I can't hear you. This angel's over here. He lent the devil an ear. And decided, instead of giving all this money, I'm just going to hold a little bit of it back. Kind of like that cheat we read about in Malachi. But notice what Peter said. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land. While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? In other words, you didn't have to do that. Nobody asked you. You said you would do this. All you had to do was what you said you were going to do. If you wanted to give less than all of it, then give less than all, but let us know. Don't tell us you're going to give it all and hold out part of it. You see the difference? See the problem here with integrity? That's the problem. It's almost as if they didn't ask you for it, you know, didn't ask you for that. This is something you didn't have to do. You didn't have to. And notice what happened here. He thought he was being clever with Peter. He thought he was being clever when he laid at the apostles' feet what he had to give, what he wanted to give. But what he was doing here, he was keeping back that part. He lied to the Holy Spirit, is what Peter says here. Ananias and Sapphira fell into this trap. In the early church, they wanted the church to think that they were giving the total amount from the sale of their land, but they kept back part of it for themselves. And for his discretion, he was killed that day. You know the story now, don't you? Oh, yeah. And not soon after that, so was his wife. As Peter pointed out, before God struck them dead, they were not lying to men, but they were lying to God. You promise you're going to give your best to the master, and you do less than that by not showing up here for a worship service? You're not lying to us. I told you this morning, we don't have a heaven or hell to put you in when you forsake this assembly. You can tell, and then, you know, you can tell us, you can tell us anything, actually. We love you. We're going to pray for you. How many times, though, we have been told one thing and something else is going on at home? Something else is going on at home where you're giving that devil a ear, huh? What's that, a football game? What is that, Dallas and the Falcons? I feel a cold coming on. Might need to let them know I'm not feeling good tonight. Obviously, it's none of you because you're here. That game is happening right now. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Some people think like that. They're playing with God. They're not hurting us. We're here. And again, we don't know. We have no idea. It's not for us to know. God knows. See, when it comes to integrity, that's God watching that. See, he does have a heaven or hell to put you in. But I'm just showing you what happens in the mind of man, right, when we bend our ear to the devil and compromise integrity, right? It happens. It happened then. It happens now. I told you all those different things I mentioned earlier. Those are all the reasons why the devil pulls out everything. He pulls out everything because he wants you. You don't want Jesus to have you. You don't want God to have you. You don't want you to find heaven. He needs company in hell. Yeah? Let us examine our ways. Is your service for God less than what you would offer a human dignitary? Is God answering your prayers? Look at Malachi once again, verse 1, chapter 1 rather, verse 9. And now entreat the favor of God. Entreat the favor of God. That's praying to God. That's asking God for something. That he may be gracious to us with such a gift from your hand. Will he show favor to any of you, saith the Lord of hosts? This is after they've done all this evil, but they want God to give them the best. Malachi sarcastically tells the people to entreat God's favor, and then he adds, with such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly? The implied answer here is no. I don't think so. We got God twisted. We just figured because he's God, he's going to just help me out. I'm praying to him. Okay. Are you serving him? Well, are you serving him? How dare you? How dare me? I don't have heaven that'll put you in. God does, though. And you're asking him for favor, but giving him less than that. That's not how it works. I'm just here to tell you. The Bible's here to tell you. This is interaction between God and his people. This is God's messenger here to tell you that he don't want you to get it twisted. We assign this God gives and loves without, he just loves. He gives and loves. He protects his children. He just gives. No. No, he has requirements. You got to serve him. You got to put him first. He has to feel like he's first. He's got to know he's first. He's got to be glorified. That's why he created man. Anything less than his glory, he'll know. And he requires it of us. We play games with God by giving him the leftovers in our lives. How can we sincerely ask him to bless us in our lives? Are you playing church? These priests were going through the motions, offering sacrifices and throwing some aside, holding this back, offering the lame sacrifices. They were burning. They're just trying to keep the fire going. They can do that with a lame sacrifice and a blind sacrifice just as well as they could one that was pure. Keep the fire going. But God says it was useless. Verse 10. He says, "Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain." I'd rather you close the doors of the church than do what you're doing. What? I thought you wanted us to go to church. Not like, no. I have requirements. I don't want whatever you got left. You think you're doing me a favor coming to church, says God? No. You need to have the right attitude. You need to want to be here. You need to want to put me first. You need to want to seek excellence. You need to want the quality that comes from learning from thus saith the Lord. You need to take that once you've acquired it and share it with someone else and glorify me. I am the Lord of hosts. He would rather they close the doors than go on playing their religious games. Are you bored with worship or with Christian service? We talked a little bit about this morning, verse 13. But you say, what a weariness is this? What a weariness is this? And you snort, it says, you snort at it, and the Lord, thus says the Lord of hosts. Can you imagine? Oh, God, I'm so tired. That's really what that says. And what's interesting, they aren't saying this. These aren't strangers on the street. These are his priests, right? I'm tired. They were bored with worship because they had lost sight of the greatness and majesty of God. The Lord of hosts. That was used almost, what, 7 times here? What does that mean, Lord of hosts? The ultimate dignitary. Lord of hosts commands the armies of heavens and all the galaxies in the universe. That's what that means. Lord of hosts. If you're bored with worship or serving God, you've lost sight of the glory and the majesty of God. Rituals and routines can be pretty boring. Get kind of rote. But you better find a way. Put God first. You know, when I was sharing with you guys that, you know, the zeal that I had when I first became a Christian, I don't know if it's as much as it was then now for me. I have to study to show myself approved, right? Sometimes I get caught up, like I told you, the work and all this other things that happens in my life, right? But when that happens, you need to find, you know, sometimes it's tactics. Sometimes you got to get a notebook and pencil out, start writing scriptures down again. Send yourself spiritually back to school and go back home, study some scriptures. Say, oh, okay, got that. Makes sense. I thought about doing, you might see me. You might see me with a ledger trying to restore my spirit, so to speak, you know, re-energize myself. I don't know what it takes. Instead of just hearing someone do the Lord's Supper, you're reading a scripture or you're taking a song and understanding the words and trying to understand, we try different things to wake up our spirit so that we don't get complacent. Whatever it takes, you're putting God first. You're trying to do more than just the motions. Yeah? You know you've done some of these things just so it doesn't get stagnant in your heart. Is your passion in life to promote God's glory among the nations? I said, well, wait a minute now. I'm not the preacher. Right? No. My passion in life? No, wait a minute now. I'm not the preacher. I'm not going on missionary journeys. And I'm just, no. Okay. But if God's aim is that his name be glorified in you, that needs to be your passion. His name will be glorified in you because he created you. All that you are belongs to him. His blood bought servant. Shouldn't our aim then be to please him? Shouldn't we be willing to serve him daily? And let his kingdom be our passion inside of us. Lastly, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, and that scripture is there. Whatever you do, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Honoring the Lord means giving him the best of our lives and not what's left over. I mentioned earlier today that it can be tough. And that must be the reason why I asked the Lord when I prayed, I said, what do I bring forth to a crowd that is so spiritually diverse and knowledgeable in the Word of God? How can I bring a lesson that they would need or that they might want to hear? And it almost brought me to tears thinking about it. I don't know. It's tough. Because you guys are here and you know how to serve God and you are serving God. I don't know. It's tough to kind of come up here and figure out a lesson that will help to encourage you to do what God would want you to do. Because as far as this, from this side of the pew, the pew, you look like you're doing it to me. And I was like, what the hell am I? But when I found this lesson and I thought, you know what, this is a struggle. I can have this struggle daily. I can struggle with putting my best, always being on, you know, giving my best to the master, understanding what that looks like, perfecting it each day. That's tough. And doing it in this world with all that craziness we've got going on out there, that is tough. It's not easy. And I said, I know I got a lesson for them. Because if it's a lesson that's teaching me, I know it can teach you. But faint not in well-doing. Faint not in well-doing. If you got in your heart and your mind, I'm going to put God first. I'm going to give him the best I can give him. Your service to God is pleasing. That's what he wants you to do. And the byproduct of that is that you get to be the best person. You get to live your best life because you're living it for God. And all that will come after that, all that will come around it, be it your family, your work, your personal life, the way you recreate, you're going to have the best life. You're going to have the best life. And don't you deserve it? Maybe we don't. We're getting more than we deserve if we're still alive, right? But you're God's children, and he wants you to have the best life. But he wants you to also make sure that you give that life to him. I hope this lesson was encouraging to you. I hope it can bring some encouragement to your life and in your efforts to try to put God first in everything, and that you don't get tired, because it can be discouraging. When you see, like I said, I talked earlier today, when you see so many people that could care less and they succeed anyway. They got their bills paid. They got a nice big house. They travel abroad. Ain't putting God first, not one day. And you're like, what? Hey, what? No. Faint not in well-doing. Because integrity, your spiritual integrity won't allow you to lay your head on the pillow at night knowing you did not put God first. Your spiritual integrity, you got to rest well at night. You got to sleep well at night. And the only way you can do that is if you know you put God first. You know you're doing the best you can for the Lord, because of the Lord. And that makes you the best person. Just give that to God. If there's any way that we can encourage you, please come forward. Let us know as we sing the song that's been selected.